Welcome. Good to see you. I'm Elliot. I'm part of the staff team here at St. Barnabas, and it's great to be with you this evening. Thanks to Alice and the band for leading us in our sung worship. And I'm going to take us into the next bit, looking at Barnabas as we're thinking about people whose lives have been transformed and what effect that had on the world around them. And I was tempted to mess with Henry because I was sat at the back rather than the front, and Henry leant in and said, "Are you planning on speaking tonight?" And I was that moment where I just thought I could really be mean here and go, "What? Tonight? No, I don't know anything about that." But I just couldn't do that to him. He's been working all day. I thought, you know, I've got to be kind to Henry. So I am speaking tonight. I thought about entitling it Foxes Love Swing Ball, because I found out last night that they do. I bought my kids a swing ball set yesterday, and it was a special offer in TK Maxx. So I thought, they've never played swing ball. Have you played swing ball before? It's awesome. And if you want to be cruel dad and your kids are small enough, you could just whack that thing all day and it just goes round and round, just above head height of my kids' reach. But not that I would do that, because that's only cruel dad that would do that. And this morning I woke up and the ball had been ripped off the little string. I know, it's sad, isn't it? I mean, I've done a sort of a little repair job on it. But it was the foxes that did. They must have been playing swing ball all night. It's probably daddy fox with baby fox just whacking the ball around, and the little fox's head couldn't quite reach over the ball. So anyway, it's repaired, so we can play again. Actually, the kids are in the garden again this afternoon playing with it, so all is well with the swing ball. So we're looking at Barnabas, and I think in your little sheets it says from getter to giver. And we're going to be looking at, if you haven't got a Bible, if you haven't got one on your phone or a tablet or whatever else you might have brought, you can use one of our Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible, it might be useful to have a Bible. If you put your hand up, one of the team will grab a Bible and let you have it. So we're thinking about this man called Barnabas, who we meet in the book of Acts. We meet him first in chapter 4, and then we see him a little bit in other chapters in the book of Acts. And I want us to just for a moment, just for a minute, just turn to the person next to you, and I just want you just to share with somebody who or what encourages you. And it doesn't have to be me. It could be something else that encourages you or something you've read that encourages you. Just talk to the person next to you. If you don't want to talk to anybody, you could just talk to yourself, because it's a church and you're allowed to do those sort of weird things in church, so no one's going to worry about that. So Henry, you're on the front row on your own. You can just chat to yourself. But just 1 minute, what encourages you? Who's encouraged you? Okay, folks, let's come back together. It's important to be encouraged. It's important that we get encouragement from one another. And it's one of the reasons that we come together tonight to have this time of worship together, to hear from Pete and from James and their trip to Thailand, to encourage us from what God was doing and how God was working in and through them. I was encouraged this morning. We had one of our kids in mini church, and if you haven't been in mini church, it's awesome. It's our three, 4 and 5 year olds, our nursery and reception age, and it's such an awesome place to be, to see these little disciples. And one of the parents came up to me. She was helping a mini church, and she's got a child in kids church, and she said that her daughter, now this woman, she's married to a lapsed Catholic, and she described herself as Buddhist by background, and she comes here because her children want to come here, and so she wouldn't describe herself as a Christian. The daughter, who's 8 now, said to her that she wants to get baptized. Isn't that awesome? Parents not Christians, but she has come here and heard the good news of Jesus, and she wants to get baptized. That is awesome. That is encouraging. It was great this morning because we were singing What God's Love Is Like, and it's great that when you have this worship time where there's been a particular focus on God's love, and I want to look a little bit at that as we look at how that affected Barnabas. And we were singing this great song in mini church where you get them to shout yes, and they make a lot of noise, and you say to them, the song is great, it goes, "Is God's love bigger than a bee?" And they go, "Yes." Yeah, it's better than that, but that's roughly the idea. And then you go, "Is God's love bigger than a tree?" And they go, "Yes." And you get it. "Is God's love bigger than a snail?"
"Yes."
"Is God's love bigger than a whale?"
"Yes."
It's just, they love it. It's hilarious. It's great. And it's true, of course. And then we got them whispering around the circle, "God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you." Great. So, encouragement, being encouraged is a really important part of being in the church and being part of the church. We had our family's missional community this afternoon, and I was hearing stories of, we just gather together for lunch a couple of times a term to just encourage one another to live an intentionally missional life where we are. And one of the guys, one of the dads in the group, shared about how he's trying to reach out to one of the other dads in his neighborhood, and he's decided to run a 10K in order to reach this guy. He's like 10K, 10,000 miles away. And he's so committed to reaching this guy, he's actually taking part in a 10K race. And so he can train with this guy in order just to get to know him and just reach out with the love of Jesus with this guy. When you hear those kind of things, it's encouraging. That's why we gather tonight. That's why we're in missional communities, those of us who are part of that. If you're not, you find out how you get involved in one. I really encourage you to be part of one. That's why we get into 2 to 4s, to encourage one another. So Barnabas, we meet him as Joseph. And I'm going to read from Acts chapter 4 at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. So Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So he was Joseph, but he was given this new name by the early church of Barnabas because of his lifestyle was an encouragement to the church. The way he lived, the way he acted was of encouragement to the church. And you find out more about him in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 13, where you see more of the encouragement that he gave to the church. He was sent to Antioch, which is one of the first places where the church, people who followed Jesus, were called Christians. And he went there to encourage the church there to follow Jesus. He was the only person in the early church who was willing to reach out to Saul. When the rest weren't sure about his conversion, in Acts 9, we see Barnabas reached out to Saul and introduced him to the community, the early church. We had a sort of a glimpse of the early church in our missional community this afternoon because we did bring and share. I used to hate bring and share because I grew up in a vicarage and I always went to these bring and shares and it was always the same. It was jacket potatoes en masse. And then it was my mum's brownies, which were amazing, but kids were at the back of the queue. So you knew when you got to the table, you weren't going to get any of those brownies. So I guess it was like one of those lessons about giving your best away and as kids learning to give your best away, but it didn't really work. You just wanted those brownies, and we never got those brownies. But this was a good example to gather together at lunch this afternoon, to bring what we had in order to share a meal together that nobody would be without anything. It was great. And here we have that happening in the early church. And there was no rule or requirement that said that Barnabas had to sell this bit of land that he had in order to give it to the church. Peter didn't say that they needed to do that. This was just Barnabas was responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. We don't hear a huge amount about Barnabas in the same way we do hear about Paul. He gets a much bigger mention in the book of Acts. But we do hear a key from Luke into looking into this man's life and how his life was marked out, and a way in which that we can be encouraged tonight by the way that God was at work in Barnabas' life. So in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, Luke says this about Barnabas, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And I think that's a key to understanding what Barnabas was like and why he was so encouraging and why he was so effective in the early church is he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And you see this throughout Acts, that Luke, in his gospel, he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit, and then he commentates on the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church as being a key part of the formation of God's church and of the growth of the church. He was full of the Holy Spirit, he was a good man, and he was full of faith. And in that same verse, this work that was going on in him results in a great number of people being brought to the Lord. So Joseph, then Barnabas, an encouragement to the church, to build the church up. The church sometimes is useless at encouraging one another. The church, if you just Google something about Jesus, some theological point about Jesus, you get to watch Christians attacking each other. It's awful. I'm not saying we have to agree over everything, but I don't think Jesus had in mind that we would attack one another over points that we disagreed about. I was talking to somebody recently about a church that they go to where the leader of their church is, you know, he's a straight-shooting guy, straight-talking guy, and he says, if you don't like what I've got to say, you can go to one of these other lukewarm churches. I think, well, you don't know about those churches. You might not agree with those churches, but this is Jesus' church. It's a bit of a shock if we think that heaven is going to be just like St. Barnabas. It's not. It's going to be broad and glorious and beautiful. Not that you aren't, but it's going to be broad. We've got to be together, encourage one another, affirm one another. My daughter was both my daughters were at the Arts Depot this week, and they were singing for their choir. It's amazing, part of this Barnet Trust, and they sang at the Royal Albert Hall. Amazing, singing at the Arts Depot. And it's not quite as good as the Royal Albert Hall, but still good. They loved it. And I said to, our kids were on last, and I said to one of the parents next to me, I said, right, when they've finished, we've got to make as much noise as we can to cheer our kids. And I suddenly became like a girl at a One Direction concert. I was screaming at the end of their singing. I wanted to encourage and affirm my daughters in what they'd done and everyone else in what they were doing. And that's a really important role in the church. When we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is encouragement. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to encourage one another. It's one of the things that Sally said has marked out her time here. Encouragement from other people. It's so important that we encourage one another. And Barnabas's lifestyle is encouraging to me when you look at his generosity, when you look at how he responds to the work of God's Spirit in his life. He looks at what he has, he looks at this plot of land, and he sells it, and he thinks, none of this is mine, it's God's. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He understood that. So he took what he had, and he gave it to the church to be used for anybody that had need. He recognized that, like in Jesus' story, the parable of the talents, the master gave the talents to these three servants, and then they had to choose what they did with that. We're supposed to look at what we've been given by the Lord and choose how we're going to serve him with that. Whether that be our time, whether that be our money, whether that be our property, whether that be our family. And Barnabas chose to be generous and to give freely. And it's not an easy thing to do. Ananias and Sapphira come in the next verses, chapter 5. And you see this couple who think being generous, it makes you look good if you're generous. So they wanted the generous bit, but they didn't want it with the cost. So they decided to follow a little bit in Barnabas' footsteps, and they sell the possession, the land that they have, the property they have, and they take that money and they say to each other, why don't we just keep a little bit back for ourselves and we'll give the rest away, but we'll make out like we've given all of it away. And then they end up dead as a result of that. Not the best plan for financial giving, obviously. The point is, though, they wanted to have the reputation of being generous without the cost of it. And they were prepared to lie to God about that, to grieve the Holy Spirit. forgetting that God knows your thoughts before you think them and knows your words before you speak them. They'd miss that part out. But there's a real difference between them and Barnabas, who gave without thought and gave generously in response to what God had done in his life. He gave freely. And Peter says to them in chapter 5, what were you thinking? No one said you had to do this. I wasn't telling you that to be part of this church, you need to sell all you have and give it away. That's what lots of people are doing, but that doesn't mean you have to do it. When you sold your property, Peter says, you could have done with it what you wanted. Why did you lie? Idiots. It doesn't say idiots, but that is really what they were. And it's just such a contrast to Barnabas, who just thought, what I have is the Lord's. And we need to follow his example when we look at our own possessions, when we look at our own property. You know, what James was talking about, the difference between contract and covenant, that just being willing to offer ourselves fully and freely to God. And it's not an easy thing to do. I love Ephesians 5 verse 1 because it's nice, easy verse to remember. Be imitators of God. And it's a great verse. Imitate God. That's what Barnabas was trying to do. And if you look in a little bit earlier, at the end of chapter 4 in Ephesians, you get what Paul's talking about when he says, what does it look like to imitate God? Verse 29, this is a real challenge to the church, not just in Ephesus, but here at St. Barnabas and here in this nation. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. It's an easy one. But only what is helpful for building others up. It's what encouraging does. It builds up. That's why we believe in the gift of prophecy in this church. That's why Henry waited and challenged us to step out, if you've got a word, to build Sally up. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Anyone ever have those things where you think, you know, God, what do you want me to do with my life? There you go. It's right there. Imitate God by following these things, and you should do okay. We need to understand who our Father is, what our relationship means with him, in order to know who it is we are to imitate and what that looks like. Barnabas knew, he knew who God was. He knew that God was generous. God has been generous with me, and so I'm going to imitate that generosity. When we give as part of our worship here in St. Barnabas, it should be done imitating how God has been generous with us. My kids imitate me, the good and the bad. And I said to my eldest, Alice, can I share something about you? And she said, oh yeah, okay then. And Minnie overheard, and Minnie said, tell them about me as well. The difference between my two daughters. And Alice, recently, she heard that her teacher had broken her ankle on a school trip. And Alice, she was moved with great compassion for her teacher. She felt, visibly, you could see she was moved for her teacher. Now, she's compassionate as she has seen her parents be compassionate with her. Last week was Father's Day. And my brother has a really good relationship with my kids. He lives in Finchley, so we see quite a bit of him. And he came round with his wife for Father's Day. And Alice had done this card for him. And there were lift the flaps in this card. It was amazing. Better than like Funky Pigeon or Moonpig or anything like that. It was awesome. And in these lift the flaps, it was this uncle's card. And she was affirming him as an uncle. And in the flap, and she hits, under one of the flaps, it said, I hereby declare this is also Uncle's Day. And he was like walking on air as a result of it. She was encouraging him and building him up, imitating how her parents have encouraged and built her up. And we need to keep our eyes on the right thing. We need to think about who is it that are in our life, whether that be how we give, how we serve, how we reach out in our communities and our workplaces. What is it that we imitate? Who is it that we are imitating? And we've got to be really careful of identity slippage. I've got to be really careful of identity slippage, that slipping away from the son that Christ has made me through what he's done into slavery. I talked about it last week at Father's Day. I spoke on the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. A son who, when he was with the pigs, he'd become a slave away from his father. But when he came back to his father, he was embraced as a son. And the worship this evening was all about drawing us back away from identity slippage into the place we've called to be. And that's as sons, daughters of God. It's like when David preached on Galatians a few weeks ago, Galatians 4. I love Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son. When the time had fully come, the silent years, 400 years between Nehemiah and Jesus. When I think about the things I'm waiting for, I'm doing a bit of waiting in my life at the moment. I've got to wait just over 2 weeks for my next, when I become a father for the fourth time. Not quite 400 years, but there's a lot of waiting in our life. There's a lot of waiting without faith, but you put faith in there. There's a huge amount of waiting. And the Bible is full of it. When you think about waiting, just start reading the Bible and you get encouraged to think, okay, people have been waiting a long time. And that's okay to be waiting. It's not easy, but it's okay. But when the time had fully come, at God's perfect time, sovereign Lord, he sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you, just like the story of the son, that guy, the son in the story of the lost son, you, like him, no longer need to be a slave, but you're a son. Since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. And I think that's what I see in Barnabas, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a good man, full of faith, is somebody who knew what his identity was. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that makes that possible for us to really know who we are. He's the one that pulls us back from identity slippage to say, you're not supposed to imitate what your friends or your family think you need to imitate. You're supposed to imitate God. And God is by definition love. So what a worthwhile thing to spend time just celebrating the love of God in song and music earlier this evening. I'm going to finish just to encourage you. And I'm going to read a little bit from this book that Rob Parsons wrote. If you want to look more into the story of the lost son, this is a great book, Bringing Home the Prodigals. And I read this because I've met two prodigals in the last 8 days. People who have just drifted, identity slippage. And they've drifted from where they're supposed to be as sons, drifting back into slavery. And the Spirit of God is always working to draw us back. But like the father in the story, he doesn't force us back. He just waits. He knows more about waiting than we ever will. As a parent, what I like to try and do is talk to my wife about how I can make my kids do what I want them to do. And I get frustrated about why I can't make my kids do what I want them to do. But God, step one of God's parenting of us, is how can I show my kids how much I love them? It's a great parenting tip. Anyone who's thinking about being a parent, that is the best step one of your parenting. How can you show your kids how much you love them? So he talks about this couple in this story, and he's talking about the patience to wait and the grace to accept. And he says, sometimes acceptance means we have to learn to love those that they love. Speaking of prodigals, Peter and Hillary were a couple who were faced one day with the news that their son, Daniel, was moving in with his girlfriend. Afterwards, they stayed up most of the night and talked about it. They felt sadder than they had felt for a long time. But in the early hours of the morning, Hillary took her husband's hand and said, Peter, all my life I have prayed that Dan would marry somebody who followed Christ. But that might not happen. Dan loves her, and I've decided that I will love her. And if you can, I want you to join me in loving her too. So from that day on, every time Sally came to that house, she was hugged and welcomed. Her birthday was never missed. Her opinion was both sought and respected. And in short, Peter and Hillary loved her. And at first, it was an act of the will. And then one day, Sally's parents suddenly broke up and a strange thing happened. She came straight around to speak with Hillary. She needed another woman. Hillary can remember holding her as she sobbed. And when Sally had gone, she turned to Peter and said, I love that girl. Really love her. And I believe she knows it. One day at church, afterwards, somebody said to Hillary, I saw you out shopping with Sally the other day. How can you condone what she and Dan are doing? And Hillary thought for a moment and then said, I wasn't condoning it. I was shopping with her. And in every shop and over every cup of coffee, I was saying, I love you. And at first, it was very hard and harder than you'll ever realize. But you know, I'm trying to be Jesus to that girl, and love is getting easier. It's a great glimpse of the love our Father has for us, isn't it? That He loves us. First and foremost, He loves us. And that when we think about how we give, when we think about how we serve, when we think about the difference between contract and covenant, we need to first remember, who am I? Where is my identity placed? What is it that I want to imitate? Barnabas became this brilliant imitator in his generosity towards God, imitating the generosity that God had shown him. Can we have the band back, Alice? Are you okay to come back? You look like you're very comfortable there. So just as we've listened to what God is saying, as we've tried to work out what that means for us as we go out of this place, let's just take this opportunity to respond as a group of people, as a body of people who are trying to follow Jesus at one end or another, or anything in between. So I want to encourage us to stand if we're able to, because we can just take this chance before we finish officially to just respond to what God is doing with you where you are right now this evening. Not just physically, but in your journey with Jesus. So if you want to join me, I want to encourage you to pray. If you feel like that's something you can do. If you're not sure how you want to respond, then you can just be completely at ease tonight. Just in the same way that there was no rule that said Barnabas had to sell his possessions and give it away. There's no rule that says we have to respond to what God wants to do tonight. It's just the invitation is there. And if you want to, we want to encourage you to respond to that invitation. But I recognize in my own life that I suffer from time to time from identity slippage. Forgetting that I'm no longer a slave, but I'm a son. That firstly, you look at us and you think, how can I show my kids how much I love them? So I want to ask God that tonight, that you would just, before we go off to our separate things, that you would just remind us again who we are. You just remind us again of your love for us. How generous you are with your love for us, God. How perfect you are in your love towards us. So as God so frequently waits for us, why don't we just take a moment to wait for him? We've asked him, I've asked him what I would like him to do among us tonight, to remind me and to remind you where you have slipped in your identity, out of sons, daughters, into slaves. We know if we're not with him, the Bible is clear, we're not free. Come, Lord. We know you're here, but I welcome you by saying, come. Come. You're welcome to come and do what only you can do, what you did in Barnabas. You take a man and fill him with your spirit and fill him with faith and make him a man who could imitate God with his generosity and his encouragement to the church. Again to him, turn your thoughts again to him, turn your affection to him again. God, we have wasted our affections on things that make us slaves, and we're sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. God is at work. In the same way he's at work in that 8-year-old who wants to be baptized, he's at work in your life. Be encouraged. God is at work. He's faithful. He's good. He's a good father. What I want to invite you to do is, if you know that God is at work in your life, I want you to encourage the church now. And I just want to encourage you, I want to ask you just to begin to speak out what you know God is doing in your life at the moment. And that might not be anything spectacular. It might be that you just know that God is a good father. And we need to be encouraged as a church. So I just want you just, if you're like me and you're quite happy to just speak out loud, and I like doing that, I know everyone doesn't, I want to just ask you now just to begin to speak out loud what it is that God is doing in your life. You don't like speaking out loud, then you can just say it quietly. Let's just begin to speak out and encourage one another with what God is doing. So don't wait for your turn. Don't be British about this. Just be a child about this. Those of us discouraged, just open up your ears and listen to what God is doing in the people around you. And just say, God, do that in me. Do that in me. God, I want to thank you that though I'm married to somebody who's in chronic pain, you love me and you have a plan for my life and my wife's life. That you are faithful and you are good and you are loving and you are generous. that I have what I need. I want to thank you that I have what I need, God, because of you. Is God's love bigger than a bee?
Yes.
Is his love bigger than a tree?
Yes.
Is his love bigger than a snail?
Yes.
Is his love bigger than a whale?
Yes.
God, there's nothing like your love. As we sing now, we just invite you again, pour it out on us. As we sing about who you are, would you speak over us again who you are? To encourage us again. In Jesus' name. Amen.